الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم. Inshallah, we're beginning the 19th juz today. The juz begins with talking about how the believers want an angel to come to them, or they want to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to convince them of the truth. The problem is that if they were to see an angel, it probably wouldn't be a very good thing for them. You know, the skies are going to be split as these angels come down to descend. It would be too late. And all their deeds will be for naught. And that would really be a hard day. So they should really think about what they're asking about. And that will be a day where they will bite their hands, wishing that they had gone in the way of the righteous and had gone with on the path of the Prophet ﷺ, and the prophets in general, and did not take bad friends who misled them. And the messenger will testify how they had abandoned the Quran. And one of the other arguments that they make, in addition to asking for an angel or to see Allah, is why does the Quran come to him, you know, part by part? Why doesn't it come to him all at once? And the answer to that is, لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ, to strengthen the heart of the Prophet ﷺ. Because you are actually interacting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not something that was an instantaneous occurrence that occurred, but there's this constant interaction back and forth with the divine, and that lends strength to the heart. Then we're told about the story of Musa and Harun alayhi salam. They were sent destroyed. The same thing happened with Nuh alayhi salam's people, and the same thing with Ad, Samud, and Sodom. And then how these people take Rasulullah alayhi salam as a joke, and they remain firm on their way. But these are people, you know, who their God is their desire. Ara'aita man ittakhadha ilaha hawaahu. Have you seen the person who takes his desire as their Lord, as their God? And these are people who are more astray than cows. And you look at cows, all they do is just, you know, go around roaming and, you know, eating. And that's what many people's lives are like as well. That they just, you know, eat and roam like animals. Then it talks about the different signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the shadow, in the night, in the day, in the wind, in the rain, which gives life to the dead earth, in the meeting of the sweet and salty water, and how there's a barrier that's set in between them, and how He made us from water, and He made us into blood lineages, and into in-law relationships, and how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a warner, and a giver of good tidings. And He doesn't ask for any wages. He doesn't have an ulterior motive. And He makes tawakkul and He puts His faith on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the people that He's making da'wah to, these people, who makes us Jatul Rahman, who is the one who made the heavens, and He placed celestial bodies in the heavens. Then it talks about the characteristics of the righteous slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how they spend the night in prostration and in prayer, how they ask for refuge from His punishment, how they spend in a moderate way, in the middle way, how they don't call anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't commit shirk, they don't commit murder, they don't engage in fornication, they don't bear false testimony. Ignorant people talk to them, you know, they just reply to them saying, salam, salam. They pass gracefully past useless and vain things and useless talk, they pray for a good family that is righteous. And they also lend a year to the reminder, as opposed to these other people who don't even make sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next, we begin Surah Shura, the poets. We begin by talking, the Quran begins the surah by talking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how he was so intense in his desire that people believe. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies that if He wanted, He could humble them with a sign that came down from the heavens. But the fact of the matter is, whenever a reminder came, they would turn away. And then He gives us many examples of people who had clear signs, and yet they turned away. And this was the consolation for the Prophet. So the first is the story of Musa alayhi salam. He asked for Harun alayhi salam to help him. He sent to the Pharaoh to send Bani Israel with them. And when the Pharaoh talks to him, he reminds him, he's like, we raised you. And you're such an ingrate. Like, أَلَمْ نُرَبِّكَ فِينا وَلِيدًا وَلَبِثْنَا فِينا مِنْ عُمِرِكَ سِنِينَ. Like, you're just turning against us? And then he reminds him of the crime that he committed when he had killed the Egyptian unintentionally. And when he's told about Rabbul Alameen, he's like, what's that? And he basically called Musa alayhi salam na'udhubillah crazy. And then Musa alayhi salam shows him the signs of the staff and the hand. And so the Pharaoh's response is that you're just a magician. And so he calls magicians as well, but Musa alayhi salam is victorious over them, and they bring iman, and they remain firm, if it means that their limbs are going to get cut off. Then we're just told about the story of Ibrahim, how he argues about the uselessness of the idols that they used to worship. While on the other hand, you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who feeds, who gives drink, who cures, and who gives life. And then he makes dua for forgiveness and for righteous children and a truthful tongue. And not to be disgraced on that day when the only thing that will help is when a person comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a sound heart. Then we're told about how Jannah will be brought closed for the believer, and Jahannam will be exposed for the ones who are misguided, and people, they will be put in there. And it will be such a terrible situation. There will be no friendship there. Their people will be arguing there. There's no one to help them. And they will wish that they had another chance so that they could be Muslim. Then we're told about the story of Nuh. And each one of these, in Surah Shu'ara, there's like a recurring pattern in terms of the structure of the surah and the message that each prophet would give, like فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ, that fear Allah and follow me. So they come with this one united message that you should have taqwa with Allah and that you should follow the messenger. And he says, I'm not asking any money from you. I'm just asking you to come to the truth. And their response was, look, the low people in the society, the poor people, they're the ones who follow you. And their response was like, well, we're going to stone you. And so he was saved and they were drowned. And in the story of Ad, they were deluded by their architectural prowess. You know, they had great feats in that area. And he reminds them that whatever you have is from Allah. And then they were also destroyed. And then the story of Thamud, and he made the same da'wah. And their response was that you're bewitched. And then when the camel came, they slaughtered, and then they were destroyed. And the story of Lut alayhi salam, and each one of these goes in more detail. I'm just mentioning very broadly what was discussed. The story of Lut and their response when he gives the same da'wah is that we're going to kick you out. And then they had the terrible rain come upon them. And then the story of Shu'aib alayhi salam, who asked them to be just in their weighing and in their financial transactions, and their response was that you're bewitched, or drop the sky on us, like bring the punishment that you're talking about. And they were also destroyed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks how the Quran was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through Jibreel alayhi salam, who was honest. And you know, it's enough of a proof that the ulama of the Bani Israel, they recognize him, and that no nation is destroyed without a warning. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't do zulm. He doesn't just decide, oh, let me just take out this nation. They're earning what they're reaping what they earn, and it's we already talked about how it was Jibreel alayhi salam who brought the Quran. It was not the shayateen who do that. Who do the shayateen come to? They come to Asaki Nasim. They come to the person who's slandering sinners. They come to liars, and then the straight people follow the poets who don't do what they say. You know, that rings so true right now, because we live in an age where music is absolutely pervasive. It's just a different type of poetry. And they say all types of things in this poetry. I'd give my life for you. I'd do this for you. No one does anything like that. You know, they're ready to drop their significant others at the slightest provocation. But the people who are misguided, I mean, these people have the most following in the entire world. I mean, if you go by like YouTube views, I don't know if it, whatever it is, a billion views, it'll be, if that's the most, that'll probably be people of music and entertainment. Then we start Surah An-Naml. It starts by talking how this Quran is clear and it's a guidance. And the disbelievers, their actions are beautified to them. And that's why they're blind, because they actually think that they're right. And that's what we call jahl murakkab. You're so ignorant that you don't know you're ignorant. So there's no impetus for you to get out of your ignorance. And then we're told about the story of Musa alayhi salam when he was with his family and he saw some fire. So he said, let me go and get an ember to warm you guys up. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him and he gave him the sign of the staff and the hand. And when the people of the Pharaoh and the Pharaoh side, what did they say? They didn't believe. They said they called it magic. Then we're told about the story of Sulaiman alayhi salam. He could understand the speech of animals. And when he was passing by a valley, he understood the ant saying, basically, get out of the way so that you're not trampled by the army of Sulaiman. So he smiled and he thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving him the ability to hear the language of, you know, other creatures. And then there's the whole story of the Hupi bird, the Hudhud bird that was missing. And so he, Sulaiman alayhi salam, noticed that. And when he showed up, he basically brought him news from Sheba that there's a queen over them and that they're worshipping the sun when they should actually be worshipping Allah. And so Sulaiman alayhi salam sends a message to them to submit. And she takes basically Mashura from her court. And they said, look, we're strong people. You know, we can hold our own. But she said, I mean, her take on this was that when kings come, they turn towns upside down. So let's, instead of getting into an altercation and, you know, causing laws, let's send a gift to them. And when she sends a gift, Sulaiman alayhi salam, he's like, you're going to give me wealth? I mean, he was subhanAllah. So he decided to send an army that can't be turned back. And he asked for her throne to be bought. And so there was a jinn who was there, one of the strong jinns. They're called Ifrit. He said, I'll bring him, bring the throne before you get up. And Sulaiman alayhi salam did have power over the jinns as well. And then there was a person with knowledge. He said, I will bring it before you even blink. So it shows the power of knowledge. And so when the throne was brought and Shiva, the queen of Sheba was brought, and her throne was already there, but it was disguised. But then she could somewhat make it out. And then when she entered the palace, it was made out of glass. And there was water flowing underneath there. So she thought that she was actually going to go into water. So she lifted up her dress and her legs became somewhat uncovered. And then when she was told that this is a palace of glass, so she understood the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given Sulaiman alayhi salam, and she also submitted. Then we're told about Thamud, how they used to take Saleh as a bad omen. They used to see him as bad luck. And there was 9 people that decided to assassinate Saleh alayhi salam, but their plot was turned back against on them. And then we're told about Lut alayhi salam, when he tried to correct his people, they basically said, turn him out. And then they were sent upon them the evil rain that we spoke about. And then just ends by saying, praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa salamu ala mursaleen. Wassalamun ala abdihi alladhina astafa, sorry. And peace be on the prophets, basically, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen. And the rhetorical question is asked, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better or the partners that these people make? And I also have to make that's the end of the gist. And I also have to make a clarification of our errata from yesterday. When I was speaking about Lian, I mentioned that Lian can be done both ways. It's actually done from, initiated from the side of the husband to negate the paternity or lineage of the child. So if he, for example, he were to walk in and see his wife with someone else he doesn't have, his wife has a child and it's not his, and he knows where the child came from, then he can, if he doesn't have 4 witnesses, then he can engage in li'an. And we talked about it was 4 oaths in the 5th. Al-la'natullahi alayhi kana min al-kathibin, the 5th oath that there will be la'na on him if he's from the ones who are lying. And then she can prevent the punishment on her by taking, you know, 4 oaths in the 5th one, that the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on her, you know, if she's in the wrong. And then if that is the case, then the judge will separate between them. So I wanted to make that correction that it's not necessary bilateral. Khair. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.